got your Bible there, let's read verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? I want to speak to you just a little bit tonight about ignorant about goodness. Ignorant about goodness. Help us, Lord, tonight. And thank you for the testimonies we've heard. Thank you for the report from Brother Momney. And Lord, thank you for the privilege we have to be a part of the work that he's doing and that you're doing through him. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us tonight. Bless and guide and direct in the service. First in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're going to list the attributes of God, all right? If you were going to list the attributes of God, I believe his goodness would have to be real close to the top of the list. To the child of God who's walked with God for years, it is not difficult for us to sing the song, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Boy, we go to camp and went to camp in Arkansas for years. I don't know if they sang that this year up there, and they did. All right, we sing it every summer. We'd go up there, Triple S, and Luke would usually lead it, and then Brother Bishop himself would often lead that, and he'd give his testimony. Brother Bishop gone through some trying times, man, and got a terrible disease and dealt with and had to learn to read and write again. And boy, I mean, just everything. But his testimony is God is so good. God is so good. We know that because we followed the admonition of Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. You say, well, what is that admonition? That's a verse that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. Now, that being said, there are plenty of folks that are ignorant about the goodness of God. Ignorant about the goodness of God. For instance, there are people that doubt the goodness of God. You'll run into people like that. They question God's goodness because of the wickedness and evil that is in this world. The things that happen in this world, terrible things that can happen in this world. And they will say things like, well, if God is so good, why does that happen? Why is that happen? If God is so good, then why did so-and-so have to die? Such a young age. And but maybe they come and say, well, why is there evil in the world? If God is good, there wouldn't be that evil in the world. But I'll tell you what, folks, that is merely an example of the ignorance about the goodness of God. And the reason they're ignorant about the goodness of God is they're ignorant about God himself. They're ignorant about God. They think God is kind of the good fairy that oversees everything and nothing bad's ever supposed to happen to anybody. But that's not going to be that way, because a long time ago there was two people in the Garden of Eden and they decided to sin. And friend, I'm going to tell you, when sin came in the world, it changed everything. Changed everything, all right? Totally did. So some doubt the goodness of God. Then you got the folks that love to debate the goodness of God. They won't argue about it, you know? They just won't argue about it. Is God really good? You say he's good, but, you know, I don't think he is. And I can give you all these illustrations of why I don't think he is. And somebody else come back and say, well, I can give you these illustrations. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I'm not interested in debating anybody about the goodness of God. Amen. Because I don't see anything to debate. Amen. Just don't see anything to debate. But amazingly, not just the doubters and the debaters, but like the folks mentioned here in the Bible. All right? Notice that second word in verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness. Hey, if there's folks that absolutely despise the goodness of God. The riches, first of all, the riches of His goodness. How can you despise? How could you look down your nose, if you will, at the goodness of God? How can you treat the goodness of God with contempt? But there's people that do that. They don't doubt it. They don't debate it. They despise it. That means they're aware of it, but they despise that goodness, all right? They want nothing to do with it. That's despising the goodness of God. Not only reject it, if you will, but I'd say it this way. They reject it with attitude. You know, it's one thing to just turn something down. I mean, somebody come and offers you something to eat. It's one thing if somebody comes along and offers you spinach souffle. All right? Now, some of you here may love it. Fine. If you offer it to me, I'm going to probably say, no, I think I'll take the onion soup, you know, but I'd try to be nice about it. But man, he turned it down with attitude. It's why you're trying to feed me that garbage. Well, that's bad attitude, all right? People despise, that's despising the goodness of God. It's not only to reject it, but to reject it with such an attitude as if, how dare you? All right? People do that. Hey, they reject and despise His goodness. But notice what the Bible says there, same verse 4, not only His goodness, but His forbearance. His forbearance. Think about the forbearance of God. You say, what does that word mean? That word really means a willingness to tolerate the intolerance of somebody else. And it implies that you're willing to put something on hold, all right? Folks, that's exactly what God has done for the lost sinner. That's exactly what He did for us. He was willing to put His wrath on hold, His wrath for our sin. But He was willing to put it on hold for our benefit. His wrath is temporarily on hold, all right? He's not pouring it out. Just for now, if you'd let me put it this way, just for now, there's a truce. There's a truce. Just for right now. Just for right now, there is a truce. God's forbearance. But look at the next word there. It talks about and long suffering. Hey, despise the goodness of God. Despise His forbearance. Despise His long suffering. Long suffering is a patience which forgives until there is no hope for repentance. To keep forgiving until there's no hope for repentance. I have a saying, and I probably picked it up from somebody else. I don't mean it's my original one, but oftentimes I've told people, hey, where there's life, there's hope. Where there's life, there's hope. And I believe that. I believe it in all kinds of ways. Hey, while somebody's alive, there's always a chance they can get saved. It's always a chance. You say, man, they're such a wicked sinner. They've done some. I understand, but where there's life, there's hope. Where there's life, there's hope. And man, I think about God's long suffering to us. God holds within His power the ability to easily avenge the wrong that has been done to Him. You say, well, I've never wronged God. Oh, yes, you have. When you sin, that's exactly what you do. Every sin that you and I commit and have ever, it is always a sin against God. Sin against God. I appreciate what Joseph said there in the book of Genesis when he said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? God. Not just sin against my master Potiphar, but sin against God. Hey folks, when we sin, that sin's against God. When you lose your temper and your tongue gets away with you and away from you, and you may put out some words that you're ashamed of later, I just want to tell you something, okay? You've sinned against God. You've sinned against God. When you get together joyfully and gleefully on the phone or in person, spread that gossip. You've sinned against God. You've sinned against the individual too, but you've sinned against God. The Bible talks about Him. He has that long suffering about Him. Take your Bible over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Would you just look there for a minute? 2 Peter chapter 3. Look down in verse 9, would you? Here's the word of God. What a wonderful verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long suffering to usward. Well, look what the Bible says. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah, I can remember I was just a kid when Madeline Murray O'Hare, at that time a very famous atheist, had her day in the sun, and she got to prance out, you know, and carry on. And I can remember thinking, if I was God, I'd kill her. But I can think, and maybe God would look at me and said, yeah, and if you'd have been God, you'd have killed you too, you know. But man, I'm glad he's not. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He's always, he has the power to wreak that vengeance and to bring that wrath down on the sinner, but he puts it off. Why? Hoping that sinner will come to repentance. Hoping that sinner will come to repentance. Do you realize God knows that, and God does that knowing ahead whether he's going to or not? But he still lingers there. Gives people the opportunity. Gives them the opportunity to think about that. There are folks in this old world that the Bible says that they despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, and his long suffering. And here it is, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So many people are ignorant of the purpose of God's goodness. God's goodness is not such that we'll sing, God is so good. Now, I don't think singing the wrong in the world with singing, God is so good. Matter of fact, I think it's a good thing to praise the Lord and say that and sing that. But hey, his goodness is given to lead men to repent. I think it's especially true for the lost. You know, we say, why do bad things happen to good people? Really, I mean, honestly, we ought to ask, why do good things happen to bad people? Well, why do they happen? Well, God's good to them. God loved the sinner, first of all, enough to die for him. Amen. He loved him that much. He doesn't unleash his wrath when he could. Instead, he puts up with the sinner's foolishness so that sinner will hopefully realize just how good God's been to him, and he'll repent. He'll repent. You know, we sit here, I hope it saved people. We don't have any problem figuring out how good God's been to us. Amen. But I'll be honest with you, I believe God's often good to the saved man for the same reason. Same reason. I think about the prodigal son. I think about that story of the prodigal son where that man had those two sons we know of. One of them came to him and said, Dad, you know, I don't want to wait on my inheritance till I'm so old I can't enjoy it. Now, you said it doesn't say that in my Bible. Well, you got to be able to read the original Greek. It doesn't say that in my Bible either, but I can imagine. You know, I know how people are. I don't want to wait till I'm so old that I can't enjoy all this inheritance. So I want what's coming to me, and I want it right now. Right now. And that father, I know, gave it to him, knowing he's not going to do what he should. Not going to do what he should. And that son left, and sure enough, we know the Bible. We know the Bible tells us that son wasted all of his substance on riotous living. But I want you to know this. Don't you think reports came back to that dad about what that son's doing? You think reports came back to it? Now, I don't think the son sent back and said, Dad, I'm having a good time spending your money. I'm living it up. No, because he knew his dad didn't want to hear that, but I believe there was reports came back. I believe he heard reports. But I'm so glad that father didn't write out, son, I'm done with you. I'm through with you. And I'm writing you off. Don't ever come back. Don't ever come back. Listen, I'll tell you something. I'm so glad my two children are faithful in the house of God. I'm so glad they're serving the Lord. But I'm going to tell you straight out, if they mess up and they decide to take a left turn in life, this dad is not going to say to them, don't ever come back. Not going to do that, because they're my child. I'm going to tell you what, you're saved, you're God's child. And there's some of you, maybe you've already put the trial out. And God should have killed you. You were his child. And you wandered so far away that nobody could tell it anymore. But I'm going to tell you, I believe God's still good to us. And you said, why? Because he wants to give you a chance to repent and come back. Amen. Wants to give you a chance to repent. Listen, it's so much better when you depart this life to go to be with God. It's so much better if you're in the right relationship with him than to show up in heaven and say, boom, what a mess I made. You know? God gives us that chance. God's goodness. Why? Gives us a chance. Boy, God's good to us. I those of you talking about your dad and Brother Marshall, we were talking about his mom. Wasn't God good to you to give you the parents he gave you? They may not have been the world's class champions, but they put something in you. They put something in you. Boy, I'd be a little bit afraid nowadays maybe to talk to some people and ask them to give a testimony because, man, the day we live in, parents are abdicating their responsibility so much and turning that over to somebody else, and it's just like let them grow up however. Man, I look back, I'm glad my dad taught me to work. Glad my dad did that. I'm glad he'd take that belt when we needed it and give us that spanking. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he told me no. I'm glad it was the goodness of God giving me the parents I had. And boy, you think God gave you the ones you needed, okay? That's the goodness of God. But sometimes God's goodness doesn't have the appearance of goodness in the eyes of man. Sometimes God allows a Christian to suffer. Sometimes God allows a Christian to suffer. I can't help it. I think about some folks that came out of our church, all right? And years ago, the church still over in Diamond Hill. It was Terminal Baptist Church. And I remember a family came to our church, and they were here. They were going to Bible college, and they joined our church, and it was a Hutton family. And boy, I tell you, Brother and Ms. Hutton took their family and their kids. They went to Guatemala as missionaries. And man, the list of the things that happened to them is just, it's amazing. You said, preacher, why did that happen? Why did it happen? I mean, hey, nobody enjoys suffering if you're normal, all right? But sometimes God allows Christians to suffer. How could that be the goodness of God? How could that be the goodness of God? Let me give you just a few things I'm done this evening. One, I believe God allows us to suffer to make us sympathetic with other people. Make us sympathetic with other people. I tell you something, if we never have a heartache, we never have a problem, we never go through a trial, it's hard for us to be able to be sympathetic to somebody. It is very hard for us to be able to help another person. Very hard for us to be able to do that. If life's always been smooth sailing, never had any rough points, never been any trials, never any trials, how do we help somebody else? But man, if God's allowed you to go through something and suffer in some particular way, then you can come along beside somebody else that's going through it now, and you can put your arm around them and say, I know exactly what you're going through. Now, I think it's a desperately wrong thing for you to put your arm around somebody and say, I know exactly what you're going through if you've never gone through it. Because you don't know what they're going through. But if you have, maybe God's allowed you to suffer in that way, you could put your arm around that individual and say, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. Sometimes God allows Christians to suffer to prove that to the Christian that his promises are sure. His promises are sure. God's made some great promises in the Word of God. But some of those promises are not for sunny days. Some of those promises are for the stormy nights. Some of those promises. So God sometimes allows us to suffer to prove to the Christian that His promises are sure. Sometimes God allows us to suffer to prove that His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. We suffer some things. You said, well, I don't think I can stand it. God allows you to get through it. Why? God's grace is sufficient. But you'd never know it if you never went through anything. You know, I can't help but think sometimes He allows us to go through some suffering to get our mind off of this old world and get it pointed towards heaven. Get it pointed towards heaven. Because we get focused right here. Right here. And we forget about heaven. Take your Bible and I'm done. Psalm 145, all right? The 145th Psalm. Just one verse there I want you to see. And it winds up the whole message, all right? Psalms 145, 145th Psalm, verse 9. Verse 9. I want everybody to get there. I want to read it out loud. I want us all to read it out loud together, okay? You there? Okay, here we go. Let's read. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Boy, do you see that? The Lord is good to all. All. Well, God didn't do for me what He did for somebody. Okay. But God's good to you. God's good to you. God's been good to you. Some people in this day and age, we are so focused on looks. We're so focused on physical appearance today that you hear about people bullying other people, and it's about their looks. I just want to tell you something. Sometimes I think the worst curse people can have is to be a woman be just beautiful, or a girl just be outstandingly beautiful, or a guy just super. None of them are handsome to me, but, you know, just super handsome, whatever that is in the eyes of you ladies, okay? I think maybe that's the worst curse you can have. Because you got to put up with everything. A woman or a girl, young lady that's just beautiful has to put up with a lot of stupid guys. And has to deal with it. Deal with it, all right? So remember, fellas, if you're not the most handsome guy in the world, God's been good to you. You didn't have to beat the women off. Aren't you lucky? Aren't you lucky? Hey, but we forget God's good to all. No, He didn't do for you what He did for somebody else, but He did for you what He did for you. He did for you what He did for you. God is good to all. The goodness of God, I believe, is always on display. Now, I think we overlook it. And I believe you've got evidence of it in your life, whether you're saved or lost. You've got evidence in your life of the goodness of God. You may be suffering. But if you'll look real hard, you can find evidence in your life of the goodness of God. Most of us won't need to look very far to find that evidence. We don't have to go, well, I've been thinking about it for 3 days. No. I mean, 3 minutes is long enough. Amen. We've got evidence of the goodness of God does. Hey, I want to tell you something, all right? A lot of people are ignorant about God's goodness. A lot of people in our day despise the goodness of God. A lot of folks, saved, I think, and lost especially, we despise the goodness of God, not realizing God's been good to us, so we'll repent. We'll repent. We'll repent. Listen, if you're in that situation, you need to repent. Man, I haven't preached against your sin tonight. I don't know what your sin is, but if you've got a sin, you know what it is. You know what you deal with. And just repent. Get right. Get right. I don't know about you, but I always want to live so I'm ready to meet God.
Amen.
Ready to meet God, because don't ever know when I'm going.
Right.
Don't ever know when I'm going, but I always want to live ready to meet Him. And I think we ought to live that way. God's been good. Don't overlook the goodness of God. Don't overlook it. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Help us tonight. You've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've taken care of us. You've preserved us. Lord, everyone that's here that's saved, you saved us in spite of how wicked we are. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for salvation that we have. Well, Lord, help us to look around and instead of looking for the things we can complain about, Lord, teach us to look for the goodness of God. Teach us to look for those things where you've blessed us and you've been good to us. Lord, help us to always be thankful for that goodness, not to despise it, but Lord, to take advantage of it to get right with you. First, in your name I pray, amen. Let's stand tonight if you will.